You know, one man said, I wanted our street to have the prettiest decorations in the neighborhood, so I strung it. I strung lit-colored balls from house to house all the way down the block. I did all the electrical wiring myself. And if you'd like further information, just drive down Moorpark Street in North Hollywood. We're the third pile of ashes from the corner. That was Bob Hope. And then for all the little ones in here, one Christmas, Pete and Jane were driving their Russian friend, his name was Rudolph, back to his house. The weather outside was terrible, and Jane and Pete said, do you think that's sleet or is it rain out there? It's rain, Jane, said Pete. I think it's sleet, Pete, said Jane. Rudolph chimed in, and they said, it's definitely rain, Jane. No, I really think it's sleet, Rudolph, said Jane. Don't argue with the expert, Jane, said Pete. What do you mean, Pete, asked Jane. Pete replied, Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear. All right. I thought you would like a dad joke on Christmas, all right? I don't even want to share anything that I've got. Leave it this way? Okay. Yes, dear. Where would I be without you? I just want to, like, sit in the presence of the Prince of Peace. With all the chaos going on around the world, the peace of God is like it is in here tonight. It's perfect. The people sitting next to you, they're so blessed that you're here. If you're a first-time visitor, we are so grateful that you've come to join us in order to give honor to the King tonight. And we want you to know that you are loved. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You never have been and you never will be. Because he's one that knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Amen. He's one that has prepared a plan for you long before you were ever born. And he wrote it all down in eternity, only for us to acknowledge what he has written according to his word one day in each one of our lives. Amen? So know that you're not alone this Christmas season. Know that you're loved this Christmas season. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, for... For a child will be born, but Isaiah 9:6 it says, for a child will be born to us and a son will be given to us and the government will rest upon his shoulders and his name will be what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. For a child was given to us. He came for us and a son was given to us. And I know somebody read it this morning in the prayer room. And can I tell you, we can't fathom that scripture. That scripture goes beyond our understanding, and some things are a mystery that we'll understand when we stand before the Father. Because how is a son born and a king born and it's given to us in a way that makes all things new? But God said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And here tonight, as we celebrate, I'm sorry, it says I have 1,071 minutes and 28 seconds now. Yes! Every pastor's dream right there. I love you, Malaj. But tonight we celebrate the climax of all mankind. The climax of everything that God had from the beginning. After the fall, hundreds of years had gone by waiting for this moment. And this is a moment that we're celebrating. It's the greatest act of love the world has ever seen. And there'll never be another that matches his act of love. For never before has the Creator, the one that created all mankind, became one human being and then died for those who denied him. Never before and never again will it ever be needed. When the Creator of the world dwelt among us, it's never been the same. The earth has never been the same. I don't know about you, but my life has never been the same. The moment I met the King, one moment, January 1st, 1987, that I met the King, my life has never been the same. I've had some crazy thoughts and I haven't done it all right, but it keeps on, he keeps on pulling me back. The Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor keeps drawing me unto himself and says, don't stop, I've got more. Don't back down, but press in. Don't give up, but get going. And no matter what's happened yesterday, I've got something greater for your tomorrows. And I want to encourage you, that's what he speaks over every one of our lives. I don't know where you're at and how long you've walked with him, but I want you to know, he's got more. There's nothing, nothing that lacks or that you lack when you walk with him. But nothing has ever been the same since Jesus entered the atmosphere on this earth. Something happened at that time which everything became different, right? We know that time changed. The natural became subjected to his name. Hope entered in continuously and daily. Understanding of all things came to light. Love exploded in a way never before seen, in the very essence and presence of God manifested for all to see. God said, I want everyone to see just what I'm like. I want everyone to experience how I love, how I want to set free, how I wash away all of the lies of the enemy. When we look at Matthew chapter 2 and we see two polarizing views and we see where Herod's view of the newborn king, right? We know that they had to go to Bethlehem as, I forget who it was that said this morning, they had to go and to pay taxes, right? So they all went to Bethlehem. They say, most of the theologians say that Bethlehem had a population of about 150 people. It wasn't someplace on anybody's bucket list. Right? 150 people lived there. They said max was up to 400. And so then they chose that to be a place where everybody has to come and register. Can I tell you, God will go to the far reaches of the world to get you to where he needs you to be. He will move heaven and earth to bring you to a place for your transformation. And I believe that place is here tonight. Herod's view of the newborn king, we know that he was the running the show. And Herod's view was when it says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3 that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And that word troubled, it actually means terrified. You see, because in 39 AD, when the wise men came, they set Herod down. You see, the wise men, they were not only political, they were scientific and they were priests. And they were from the Medes, they were Medes. And so when they came from the east, these guys were the most powerful people on the earth. And when Herod heard that the wise men were coming, he said, oh, I need an audience with them. Why? Because they were kingmakers and they were king killers. With one word, they installed the king. And with one word, they deposed the king. So he had a different view of what was going on because he was looking merely at the natural and he wanted to stay king. He wanted to stay in control and he wanted to stay in charge. I don't know about you, but there's probably people sitting in here tonight and each one of us have it at different times where you want to stay in charge of your todays and tomorrows. Where you want to be the king. You want to be the one that makes all the decisions. You want to be the one that doesn't stop. You want to be the one that does whatever they want. And that's the attitude that Herod had when the wise men came. He was troubled. He was disturbed. He was definitely disturbed. But he was also terrified. And when they came, these powerful men that were involved in everything, Herod had a view, how do I stop this king from entering into his call? How do I stop this plan so that I can do whatever I want whenever I want? Even to the point where he said afterwards, kill all the children under 2 years of age. I don't want to take a chance and I want nobody ruling here but me. And I know we don't go that direction, but I want you to know we go to great lengths sometimes in our own minds where we try to stifle what God wants to do. We try to hold back and we're afraid. Many times it's because we're afraid because we don't realize just how good God is. I want you to know you serve a good God. If you don't know him this evening, he's a good, good father. He has made a way where there seems to be no way. When it's a dead end, he makes a way of escape. No matter how many mistakes I've made, he's forgiven each and every one of them, and he's washed us clean. Amen? Therefore, we have become new in his eyes. And I think we need to confess that in the mirror so that in our own eyes we become something new and different. Amen? So we have Herod's thought process in the midst of it when he hears about the wise men coming and the birth of a newborn king. And he's petrified, he's terrified, he doesn't want to lose control. And then we have the wise men, or the magus, or the magoi, it was a plural. Now we know that when they came, these were the most powerful men. And so many times, you know, when we look at it and we have Mary and Joseph and the baby, and then we have the three kings with their little boxes of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then we have a couple of sheep, right? And a couple of cattle lowing, and everybody is here in this manger or in this barn. But I want you to know that these wise men, they were the wealthiest men that there were at that time. And right now, the king of Saudi Arabia, the prince of Saudi, on his birthday, he will receive millions of dollars celebrating his birth. The wise men have been waiting for hundreds of years, searching the scriptures and everything that Daniel wrote about. And they've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And then finally, it says, and they were so excited when the star finally stopped and they were at the right place. Everything had come to fruition now. All that God had promised now was about to take place. And they came. But you see, these kings, they didn't come alone. They had servants. They had people taking care of them. They said usually when the king traveled, any one of them, they would have over 100 people with them and a small army. So these guys were not just one guy walking along with a lowly gift to put before the king. These guys have been planning it for hundreds of years, saving and preparing, because they've already come before Herod and they sat him down for a day, but they knew they were coming before the one that was written about long ago, that now the star stops. They find it and then they bring their treasure in. And if they give a Saudi prince $1 million for his birthday, because they always gave to the kings according to what that king controlled in that area. So if you had a small area, you still had an amazing gifts that were, or amazing gifts that were laid before you. And then if you were a king over a larger area, you had a larger gift. They knew that they were coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so what they brought was beyond compare that any other king received from the kings, or the wise men from the east. And we know that there wasn't just three of them. We don't know exactly how many. There could have been seven. There could have been more. But each one of them bringing their gifts before him, plural. Bringing their treasures and opening them up before him. So here these men are, and they've spent their whole lives studying what was about to happen. Oh, that we would study what's about to happen. I believe there's change coming in each one of our lives and around the world. We can see it in the news. But I want you to know, when you walk with him, you can walk in peace no matter what goes on in the world. He didn't want to leave us alone. And he said, hey, look, there's going to be some tough times coming. And when you surrender to me, like those kings came in and surrendered. And it says that when they brought their gifts in, that they bowed before him. And that means that they knelt down, they fell on the ground. The most powerful men on the planet dove at his feet and kissed the ground that a two-year-old was standing on. The most powerful men. Let's see how the most powerful men in the world act today. Not a whole lot of wisdom, because the only thing they do is want everybody else to sit at their feet and to fall before them. And that's the mistake that everyone makes when they deny, when they act like Herod. But I believe that tonight, God's desire is that each one of us would act as the wise men. For everything that you've been seeking for is in Christ. I want you to know, no matter what you've tried to fulfill, no matter what you ran after to try to say, oh, this will satisfy, it never will. Outside of Jesus Christ, you'll never be satisfied. All the great, the most powerful men, the wealthiest men on the planet at that time were not satisfied with any of it. All they did was search the scriptures to find the one, the Messiah that was coming. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants you to find him. He said, if you search for me, you'll find me. And I'll make all things new. I'll call you my own. I'll give you a new name. You won't be lost. You won't be the failure. You won't be a mistake. You won't be lonely. All of these things that have been spoken over different people's lives over time, God said, hey, if you come and you throw yourself before him, he makes all things new. And I just thank God for the power of God's word that transforms and changes only through the blood of Jesus. You know, when we come to Jesus, three things happen. After we've tried everything else under the sun, usually. I don't know about you, but I got to the end of my rope. I've tried pretty much everything they told me to try and nothing satisfied. And then I gave my heart to him one night and in an instant, everything was transformed. And you know, three things happen when we give our lives to the Lord. Number one, contrast. We act differently. We act differently than we did yesterday. We act differently than the world. We act differently in each and every situation, or at least we learn to, amen? Sometimes it takes a while to renew the mind. And we act the same in pressure situations when we first get saved. But then over time, we start to act differently. All because we're reminded of his great love towards us. So there's a contrast that happens. We act differently. We're allowed, and then from that point forward, we follow his lead. And we don't stop, no matter how long he tarries. And we give all we have and all we are to the expansion of the kingdom. These are the things. It's a contrast. The very life that I was living, running and chasing and trying to figure out what life was all about and trying to get to a point where I felt like that was success, and yet none of it was, no matter how great it was, no matter what country we were in, no matter what we held in our hands, it didn't change anything. The emptiness was still there. But one moment with the king, and my whole world was contrasted and turned right side up finally. Number two is conflict. There'll be a conflict in our mind about laying our lives down. There'll be a conflict with family. There'll be a conflict with old friends. There'll be a conflict when it comes to our possessions. There'll be conflict no matter what. He said, in this life you'll have trials, but be of what? Good cheer. Tell your neighbor, say, good cheer. Tell your other neighbor, say, you need good cheer. Amen. See, but he said, be of good cheer. I wonder if there's bad cheer. There must be. There must be. But he said, you be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Everything that you think controls you, manipulates you, holds you captive, holds you in bondage, I've beaten it. I've destroyed its power. I've made a way through so that you can walk in victory and no longer as a slave and in bondage. There's conflict. And then number three, it's contrast, conflict, and conversation. When we come to know him as the Prince of Peace, when we come to know him as our Father, when we come to know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then our conversation starts to change. The only way we change the world is our conversation starts to change. Because when we get close to him, we start to talk about him. I don't know about you, but I love talking about my Jesus. I love talking about what he's done in my life. I love talking about the bride that he has given me, my children, my grandchildren. I love talking about the call of my life. I love talking about the churches around the world that we're watching God do miraculous stuff through. I love talking about him. Our conversation starts to change. The jokes, they don't have the same desire any longer. the things that everybody else is talking about, I'm not really interested, because all I hear is insecurities or pain or failure, or I hear the vulgar stuff that people speak of, and I just want to bring a different conversation in the midst of it, one that would bring healing and hope and peace, and not only into them, because everyone that you talk to, you have the ability through Jesus Christ to change generations. You are a generation transformer. All right? Doesn't mean you turn into a yellow Camaro. But you are a generation transformer by the power of God's word through each one and every one of us. Amen? So let us walk as wise men and women, not caring for the things of this world. Let us take, like the wise men, and lay it at his feet. Everything that he has given us, for we're simply stewards, the word said, of everything that we have. And he said, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. He said, I'm going to give to you. If I can get it through you, I can get it to you. We've got to open up our hands and start to release the anointing that's on your life into other people's lives, the kind words and the encouragement in your life, and then the natural things. Because we know that he's coming back, right? And we know that he's going to meet us face to face, or we're going to meet him face to face one day. And he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our effort. He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our giving. He's worthy of us laying down our lives and surrendering to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace. And I just want to encourage you, if there's an area in your life that you don't have peace, if you'll surrender that to him, he'll change everything. If there's an area that you're struggling with, I'm struggling with my own thoughts, I'm struggling with someone in my family, I'm struggling with my passions and my desires, they don't line up with the word of God. I'm struggling with confusion, I'm struggling with depression, I'm struggling with suicide, I'm struggling with whatever it is. I want you to know, if you'll take that and you'll surrender it and say, Lord, I'll believe what your word says from here on out, everything starts to change. Because the power is in the word of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this evening, I want to encourage you. And there's one of two views. We can either view things the way that Herod did, where we say, I want to destroy everything that God is doing and using to try to control my life and my future. Or I want to surrender as the wise men did. And I want to encourage you, they were called wise men for a reason. Because they were able to surrender everything to the King. Amen? So this evening, as we celebrate one more time in song, and as we prepare for our candle, lighting of the candles, I just want to encourage parents, if you have children, just keep an eye on them so they're not dripping wax all over everything. And then most of them have the battery-operated lights, and we're so grateful for that, if the ushers can go ahead and start lighting. And then you can light the person next to you, and we can spread that light all over this place. Because this is our desire, is that we release the light of the world. Hey, that's what I like. They're putting a light on a hill up there, getting it up as high as they can. That's where you boys are supposed to be, on the highest hill, proclaiming Jesus Christ. And that's the power of God living on in you to change the world.